Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic, Nick Kieser with you. Catch up with Jonathan Hutton here in just a few minutes from OutKick. And try to get him on, get his thoughts on different things. But a lot of people weighing in on some of the WrestleMania stuff. I mentioned during the break to you, Logan Paul, YouTube sensation. He's now signed with WWE. I've got to give him credit. I don't like him necessarily. Like, I don't. I'm the old school wrestling fan that just wants to see, like, pro wrestlers that have worked their way up. But
Ric Flair.
But, yeah. But, like, Pat McAfee entertains me.
Yeah.
McAfee works. And, like, the fact that, like, McAfee and Logan Paul are two examples of guys that they jumped into this space and it wasn't just, hey, give me a check and I'll make an appearance. But I'll put Bad Bunny in this too.
Yeah.
They actually went and trained and learned. And now, like, when you watch them work, which is, you know, a lot of wrestling people say they work, they know how to work.
Mm-hmm.
When you watch them do that, I'm actually entertained. Like, they have put the time and the effort into it, and so I appreciate that.
Well, and they're bringing an entire new audience to the sport. They're bringing, you know, football fans, people who just watch Pat McAfee's show, YouTubers who love, you know, Logan Paul. They're bringing an entire new audience because people will tune in because of those two, because they're huge personalities.
Jonathan Hutton from OutKick, Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow, weekdays from 2 to 5 on 94.9 The Fan, joins us now. And Hutton, I got to say, when I was watching WrestleMania this weekend and they were doing the hype for Logan Paul versus Seth Rollins, I kept waiting to see Seth freaking Rollins on with you and Withrow at the Super Bowl, and I was disappointed that they just used McAfee. So I'm going to write a letter on your behalf.
Yes, please do. I would love a little credit for setting this up. No, I mean, it was pretty obvious that they were headed in that direction, and he was cool enough to kind of go along with it while also at the same time not being in character. I think Seth Rollins is one of the few that when he sits down with you at a table, you don't really know if you're going to get the guy who's cranked up to 11 or Seth Rollins who's at like a 6. And I thought he was really cool at the Super Bowl to do a version of both.
Yeah, and that's what I think is so cool now, and you know, with what you and Withrow do and your show, and like we have wrestlers on. You know, for so long before the internet, there was kayfabe, and it's like they always had to stay in character. And I love now that they don't, you know, and they kind of mix it up, and it creates, you know, here on Sports Talk, we can talk about different things, and you got like Pat McAfee jumping in there and Snoop Dogg, and you know, just combining different things, but. Obviously didn't have you on to talk wrestling, even though it's a big day with UFC and WWE merging. I mean, I could do 3 hours on it.
Yeah.
What do you make of this potential? I guess it's a rumor that Daniel Jeremiah has thrown out there that he's talked to GMs. Don't sleep on the Titans moving up to the third overall pick. To me, that means they've identified a quarterback that's either named Anthony Richardson or Will Levis that they love, because I don't see Stroud or Young being there. But what do you make of that?
Well, I mean, it makes sense to get ahead of Indianapolis if you want the quarterback that should be, quote-unquote, slotted to go there. I think Houston's taking Bryce Young. So if Carolina – I don't rule out Richardson to Carolina, by the way. I think Carolina with Dave Tepper could go a number of different directions based on what we've seen. And, I mean, with all of the comparisons of Anthony Richardson and Cam Newton from an athletic standpoint, Carolina, to me, is number one overall, you know, crazy to go with Anthony Richardson over C.J. Stroud. Although, I think it's Stroud. I just don't rule out Richardson as a possibility. So then that would put Stroud or Richardson, hypothetically, to number 3 in Arizona. And that's going to be a big price tag. It's going to cost quite a bit of future draft capital to move up, along with whatever you may have currently on the roster. And the Titans have the arsenal to move up with what they have on their roster and, you know, future picks. And they're also thinking, well, hopefully this is the highest we're going to draft for a while, number 11 overall. Let's maneuver and get the quarterback of the future. If they know their guy, I don't have a problem with them moving up and going and getting it. No team should, or fan base should, based on what we perceive to be the highest price tag and what is, which is the QB. But also consider there's going to be a number of teams, I think, that want to move up. Seattle could do that. Vegas could do that. A number of different and surprise teams, too, by the way, that will try to move up and get a QB in this draft and pretty high. So I think that the time to make the move and try to move up would be now, as opposed to draft night when you exactly know the name of the quarterback to go get it three. It's a really intriguing draft, Chase, because while I think we kind of know where these quarterbacks are going to go, there is always a surprise team that moves back and a team that jumps up. And right now, the team that really has to be antsy a bit would be Indianapolis, because they're either going in the Lamar Jackson camp or they're going to get potentially quarterback number four. And is that Will Levis at number four? I mean, it could be, but man, it's a crazy way to go into an April draft, knowing that your quarterback is one of the group, but you don't really know which one, and you're picking fourth in the draft. You're not picking ninth.
Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike joins us. Jonathan, sticking with the draft and sticking with this report that, you know, the Tennessee Titans have been inquiring what it would take to move up to the third overall pick. You know, say it would be this year's first. I'm assuming it would be next year's first. And the bidding would be pretty high to get that third overall pick, just looking at how many teams need a quarterback. But then on the flip side, I look at Lamar Jackson would take two first-round picks. You obviously would have to take on his salary, and he wouldn't be on a rookie salary. What would you choose? One of these rookies, which would probably be at three, and Anthony Richardson or Will Levis, Hendon Hooker, if you believe he's that high. I know he's been up to fifth on Mike Tannenbaum's list, or a guy like Lamar Jackson. You know what he has to offer, but you're also taking on his salary, but you know what he can be in this league.
Well, it's just got it depends on what the cap space is like for each individual team and who your owner is. Your owner is going to be paying the guaranteed money. It doesn't have to be fully guaranteed, but he's going to be paying the guaranteed money to make Lamar Jackson a top five paid quarterback in the National Football League immediately. Titans aren't doing that right now. I don't think the Titans can do it based on where their cap is now. There's a lot of ways to maneuver the cap in your favor. But one way to really screw it up, too, is to give everything you have to your QB and having so many different holes, but also having to give up two first-round picks in order to do so. The teams also know that in regards to Lamar, there may be a situation where you don't have to give up two first-round picks to get him, because you've got – And look, I think it'll cost them. The price tag is not going to be easy. But Green Bay also wants a first round pick for Aaron Rodgers. Big age difference there, but also a former MVP who's available mm-hmm. right now via trade. The point being, the compensation to me is a foregone conclusion if you're in the Lamar Jackson camp that you're willing to give up what we saw something. In regards to like a Russell Wilson compared to what we're going to see most likely with Rodgers, which is the first is going to be conditional next year. At least that's what the reports are. Jackson, though, is a very particular and specific QB compared to many around the league, where when you get him, he's a lot like Derrick Henry. There's only a handful of teams that make sense for the style of quarterback that he is. And the Titans fit that mold. They do. Indianapolis is a great fit for him based on the coach they just hired and who he's been with. So I do think the AFC South is a great match for what Jackson would bring. But also, you know, Baltimore's got to determine what they're willing to match. They not only would it take two first rounds to get, they also have the power to match a contract offer. So you not only do you have to come over the top with the money, you've got to figure out, okay, we're going to part two first-rounders, and we need to make sure that this guy that we're about to trade for and sign is going, number one, going to sign the contract because it's not going to be a fully guaranteed deal, and that's what got Baltimore in this mess. So there's a big deal there where you would also need to go ahead and negotiate with the player directly. That, I think there's a headache there. The rookie, to move up to three, the rookie would be, okay, we're building around him, but we're putting everything in on him. We are putting our jobs at stake to move up and go get him. And it's also a heavy tag. I mean, the price you're paying when you consider what San Francisco did to move up to three, mm-hmm. Miami. I think that is what I would look at initially as what the compensation would take. But also consider Justin Fields, whenever the Bears went and got him, they were giving up future draft capital for that too.
Jonathan, quickly, we got the national championship game tonight. We had some Final Four matchups this weekend. LSU, the women's winner. Any takeaways from this weekend? I know officiating was a big topic of discussion. I personally didn't like the technical foul called on Caitlin Clark. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, don't like it. I mean, how many times have we seen some of the best players in the world celebrating, period, or, you know, quote-unquote taunting? And it's just not a storyline, but I think it is in this case. It is in this case because people are actually paying attention to the women's game. And, I mean, let's be honest here. Everyone that's complaining about taunting didn't see a shot made by Caitlin Clark until Saturday or until Friday. And if not then, it was the weekend prior in the Elite Eight. So, and same goes for the – if you're tuned in to watch the national championship or the Final Four – I'm betting that the vast majority of people that are complaining and using it as the topic right now didn't spend a whole lot of time watching women's sports, women's basketball, I'm saying, during the regular season in conference play. And it's a lot of groupthink. That would be my initial reaction to it. And then also, championship game tonight, I just hope that San Diego State, you mentioned the officiating, I hope the officiating allows San Diego State to play their game.
Yes.
It's a very specific style, and they can, I mean, UConn can run away with it pretty easily if the whistles come out. But I don't get the sense the officials want that to happen. I think they'll swallow the whistle as much as possible tonight, and I think it could end up being a really good game.
Well, I hope it is a really good game for sure. But, Hutt, appreciate it as always, and we will talk to you next week.
Thanks, Hutton.
You got it, guys. Always enjoy. Thank you.
Jonathan Hutton, Outkick, Hot Mic, weekdays from 2 to 5 on 94.9 The Fan. You can hear it there, and always enjoy talking to Jonathan Hutton when he joins us. And he is presented by Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars. Visit Blend Bar in the heart of downtown Nashville today. Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars is luxury redefined. We'll give our final picks on the game tonight and wrap things up here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.